Save big money when you start your next project today at Menards. Convert your current recessed lighting with energy-saving LED downlights from Fight Electric. They're bright and install easily in just minutes. They also go from regular lighting to nightlight mode with just a simple flip of a switch. Save big on all Fight lighting products now at Menards. Shop our lighting options today in-store and on Menards.com. Save big money
at Menards. Well, Road America is over, and PJ, I know you went to Road America this year, right? Did you have a good
Absolutely
time?
Absolutely had a blast. Weather was pretty decent. Only hailed on us twice on Saturday.
Only twice?
Only twice did we get hailed upon on Saturday, but the weather Friday and the weather Sunday were pretty spectacular, and for our riding on Monday, the weather was perfect.
Now, I'm not clear where this happened, but did you see the motorcycle rider who was struck by lightning and ended up dying due to injuries? Did you see
that? Was unaware that that had happened. I would be surprised if that happened at Road America.
It didn't happen at Road America.
Did not hear about that.
It's a street bike rider, and you could see where the lightning entered through his helmet, and it wasn't a Bell helmet or any particular brand. That's not important. Just the fact that, you know, you got to be aware of your surroundings. If you're in bad weather, please, please pull over and be safe. Arrive and thrive. Okay. Let's go to Tony Wink. Tony, our next guest is waiting in the wings.
Yeah, it's a guy we've had on many times, JL10, and he's, I always enjoy talking to Johnny Lewis. I called you a journeyman in fly track.
Journeyman.
Would that be appropriate?
You could be. I mean, I've been
better than a jerk.
Up to something, I think.
It's better than calling you a jerk, right?
Why would you call him a jerk?
I think you said that before, though.
Not on the air, though.
Yeah, not in public.
Hey, man, how you been?
Not too bad, man. I was on about an 8-week go there for a little while. Now, finally back to Florida. We kind of just doing a little of everything, you know. Obviously, my school's doing good. You know, teaching people the world of flat track and sliding around, but also I also did some consulting there for American Flat Track, and did Daytona, did work with them for that track, Texas, and then even that Super TT out in Arizona. And then right after that, I jumped on a plane and went 3 weeks over in Europe and did schools, and then got back and did Springfield, but that got rained out, and then went right from Springfield to Kentucky and raced Kentucky. So I actually raced for the first time last race, and then got back down to Florida. So. Nonstop.
The Super TT looked really, really cool.
Yeah. Well, when I showed up, I basically looked at the guys and I'm like, yeah, you guys are screwed. You know, it was like, you know, it was like the trucks just ran. I mean, it was ruts. I mean, it was ripped up. It was 2 foot deep. And, you know, we're flat draggers. They want the smoothest thing possible, and they complain if there's a little bit of dust. Well, I'm like, good thing I got here on Tuesday, because we need every bit of 4 or 5 days to get this done, and we were able to get it, you know, relatively, I thought, good. I had to leave. I couldn't stay there for the race, but I got everything, you know, to reshape the jumps, you know, to trying to get the thing as smooth as possible, and down to, you know, it's Arizona, it's dry weather, so trying to figure out the dirt water mixture, you know, the process there in a couple of days, it was a tough challenge. But I mean, the crew of everybody we worked with, it was a blast, and you know, I got to test the ride the track, and you know, let's cut this jump down a little bit, or hey, that's not safe, let's try to do this. So it's been you know, something I've been doing with AFT now, a couple races, and trying to just, you know, the safety factor, and you know, also trying to make as good a racetrack as we can with what we're dealt with. So
when you're in that situation, I mean, I gotta imagine it's road grader. Water, sheep's foot, water, sheep's foot, maybe a little bit more road grader, water, sheep's foot. I mean, it's basic flat track prep, isn't it? Or am I wrong?
Yeah, no, you're right most of the time. You know,
you're right. I am right most of the time. Just nobody gives me credit for it.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, Daytona, it was a flip, you know, flip of a coin. We got there after a Supercross, and, you know, we actually built the track, you know, prior to Supercross, and they put underneath, and you know, they worked with the Supercross guys. Hey, we're going to build here. You know, you build your track over. You do this. Well, here they actually planted palm trees right in the middle of turn one.
Oh no!
For the track. So when we got there, I mean, there was just this massive hole. You know, right in the middle of turn one. You know, coming off the banking. you know, so, and then we had to bring new clay in and redo it. And, you know, timeline there was pretty short. And then Texas, you know, we dealt with, it was like 7 inches of rain, you know, for the 4 days leading up to when I got there, you know, so this was like working with Play-Doh. You know, I couldn't bring the grader on, couldn't bring the water truck on, it would sink, you know, that was an issue. And then getting to Arizona, you know, we're in the middle of the desert, hard as a rock, you know, they ripped it, but then it's just crumbling. There's asphalt chunks, you know, in the dirt just because, you know, the trucks that run there, they don't care what the surface is. You know, we, you know, like I said, they complain if there's a rock on there. So, yeah, the process is, you know, ever changing from track to track to track. But, you know, obviously that track, it was just kind of building as solid as a base as we could, get as hard and smooth. And, you know, the guy on the grader was pretty good. And then, you know, we had to actually shape down a lot of the jumps. You know, they're pretty big for the trophy truck kind of deals. So we had to reshape all that. So it was D6 dozers and everything. So I got my dirt work experience.
Yeah, and you're good at it, and I'm sure all the racers appreciate knowing there's a legitimate racer that's, you know, that involved in the process. How many more races are you personally running, you think, this year?
I don't know yet. Not really sure. I might be working with this one kid that should be pretty damn fast come Lima. He's going to make his debut there, so I might be working with a kid that I've been working with for a while. And might do that, and then I don't know. I mean, I've really, really taken on the role of, you know, obviously my school, but I've been working really hard on some amateur stuff, trying to progress the amateur side of racing, and then obviously my relationship with AFT on the technical, you know, the race, you know, the racetrack side of things. They keep asking about a couple other events, so my time is actually getting limited, I guess, so I'm just... picking and choosing. I'd like to do this, you know, now that Springfield got rained out this spring, they have a doubleheader in the fall. I mean, that's really my favorite racetrack of all time is Springfield. So I know for sure that's two races that I, you know, because it's going to be a doubleheader, that's two that I want to do for sure. So it might only be those two.
And who is this hot rod kid? Is he just aging into the class, hitting a birthday or something that's going to let him go pro?
Yeah, it's Dallas Daniels. He's raced the Moto America stuff, podiums, I think all but one round this year so far. You know, but also as a dirt track kid that I've worked with forever. And he races for Tim Esteson on the Esteson Yamaha program.
What already. A program.
Yeah, his dad is actually Ryan Wells' mechanic. So he's kind of embedded in the team. And, you know, the kid actually, I actually raced Springfield TT. Just kind of a hot shoe race, you know, a pro-am class. So there's pros and amateurs and, you know, they let 15-year-old kids race the pro-am class. Well, sure enough, I joked. I'm like, man, if this little kid, you know, he's not little anymore. He's got his little mustache going, and you know, he's on top of the world right now, so fast. And man, if he beats me, I'm gonna have to retire. And, you know, he always jokes. He calls me 30 plus, and I'm not 30 yet. He's like, plus 30 plus, and I'm like, that's right. If you beat me, you can call me 30 plus. You know, as long as you want. And sure enough, the kid freaking rips the whole. Me and JD Beach are like fighting for the inside to start, kind of bumping elbows, and all of a sudden this flash of blue just flies across both of us, and he takes the lead and leads the damn thing for a little bit over, you know, JD, and I ended up actually fourth. So you know, my little protege that I've been working with forever actually beat me. So it's rewarding. You know, it's like it's one of those things. I always joke, man. The day when one of my students beat me, it was, you know, one of those most rewarding things I've actually
had in a while. That's why you train and coach riders. I mean, it has to be. If not, why would you bother? You'd have to be bored to death, and not if you didn't get satisfaction out of those kids getting to that point, right?
Yeah, no, it's you know, I love it. You know, they always chase me. You know, because even in this Kentucky, that last weekend at Kentucky, you know, I haven't raced a mile in a year and a half. I jump out and, you know, first qualifying session of fourth. And, you know, against all, you know, Jared Mees and Briar Bauman and all those guys that do it nonstop on factory equipment, you know, I can get out there and I go good. So it's not like, you know, he beat me and it's, you know, I'm not going good. It's like, hey, you know, I still have it, still have the fire. It's just, you know, I'm really, you know, really love that, you know, I've talked about it before, just kind of spreading it and just getting more talent out there. And, you know, that's kind of what I do with my school. And, you know, like I said, I've been working on a bunch of amateur stuff. Hopefully I can announce something here soon with some amateur stuff that I'm working on. So, you know, race series wise. So just, you know, always got my hand in the fire, but, you know, it's always trying to build a bigger picture.
Johnny Lewis is our guest, JL10, flat track extraordinaire. Before the season started, there was a lot of buzz about an old man that was going to go racing. You know who I'm talking about, Jeff Ward. What happened to Jeff? I didn't see much after, you know, there was a buzz about it when he started, and we were really excited.
Daytona, right? I mean, it was when it was being discussed.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, he did Daytona. I mean, man, and he got in early. We went and tested. You know, that at that time, that was the first time he ever rode a clay track. You know, like, he never rode clay before, and I'm like, you gotta get there, because it's clay. Like, it's a little different than pea gravel, and, you know, we've been riding at the Blackmore Ranch out in California, and it's all good, but I'm like, you gotta get the clay experience. So he came, and he, you know, first couple of sessions, he's like, holy crap, I see what you're talking about. Like, he's just sliding right off the track. He doesn't, you know, the whole process is different. So we ran him through that, and then we got him there to race day, and he ended up going out and get second in his heat race. And then, you know, the flat track stuff's so tough, you know, it's, you know, that semifinal, you kind of, it's elimination kind of round. And he just got off the line and bumped in the back of somebody, and the front brake kind of locked up, and he almost went up over the bars, and he was last. And all these guys are fast. You can't really come from last to first, you know, or last to even a transfer spot, you know, without other guys making a mistake. And he just, you know, that was tough. And he was like, man, that one mistake. And I was like, man, I told you we should put hand guards on. I told you. And you said, no. You know, I was just joking. And I'm like, but, you know, you're the guy with all the experience. You know, just joking with him.
giving the Wardy line.
Give him some shit. But, you know, it's a cool, you know, just getting him to Daytona, get him that process. He did race Arizona as well. I wasn't able to obviously be there, but he brought his own bike out from West Coast. And we both I had an East Coast bike, he had a West Coast bike. And put the program together, and you know, asked him about doing Springfield, and I think just timing right now. He's been doing a lot of bicycle stuff and things out there, but I know he'll most likely 100% do Sturgis, because he has a really big connection there with it out in Sturgis. Obviously, if you follow his Instagram and Mickey Diamonds and Doug Henry's, this guy's been building the tracks out there. And
yeah, what's the deal with that? That's not too far from us, and I see a bunch of motocross stuff that they're working on or something. But
they built right there, kind of right around the Buffalo Chip area. You know, there was they built a motocross track. I mean, the one day it's snowing, and then the next day they had a motocross track built. You know,
yeah.
you know, they just kind of they're really trying to push, you know, the growth of that, you know, obviously up in that area. A little bit more, and I think it's great, you know, especially their affiliation with, you know, the Buffalo Chip crew, the guys that promote, you know, the races and all the stuff in Sturgis. It's, you know, they're pushing hard. They're running little schools, and it's neat. So he's been doing a lot with that. You know, it's been cool though. It's him, Mickey Diamond, and Doug Henry, and you know, all three of those guys are, you know, heroes of mine, friends of mine, you know, like, I, you know, it's pretty cool, you know, just those group of guys, you know, totally different eras of racing for me, but they're still out there doing it, and we're talking about schools and everything we're doing, and it's pretty neat.
It's awesome, and it's neat. I mean, we experienced that here on the show. We've been talking to guys like you and Jeff Ward and Mickey and all them guys for 100 years, it feels like, and it's just really surreal to be, you know, the guys that you had posters of when you were a kid, you're hanging out with and riding with, and I get that opportunity more often than not. It's pretty cool, and you don't think about it when you're with them, but every once, you know, like Damon Bradshaw comes to my place and hangs out and rides, and
that's pretty cool.
It's like,
yeah, you brought him to the shop, and it's cool.
It is cool. It's just
freaking Damon Bradshaw.
Right. It's just neat.
It's like, you know, even at Daytona, it's you know, I'm sitting there in my pit area. I'm like, man, this is kind of my team I put together. And then I got, you know, Jeff Ward riding my bike. And then I got Doug Henry hanging out. You know, I've been really good friends with Doug. I was actually there when he got hurt, like first person to him. So we have this, you know, connection. And you know, I'm like, my wife looked at me, she's like, look at them. Like, there's Jeff Ward and there's Doug Henry in our pit area. You know, it's like, and then I had Dalton Guthier, the kid that, you know, has been on a, you know, back to flat track and kind of helped rebirth him, you know, gave him a bike for Daytona and goes out and gets second. I'm like, this is pretty damn cool. Like, you know, I could have raced and I might have got a third or I might have got a fourth or, hey, my luck, I probably would have broke the thing in half. I've done that multiple times. But I'm like, man, this is pretty cool. I can see why guys like Jeff and I see why, you know, Doug and Mickey are still into this sport for so long. I mean, it's, you know, it, and guys like you, I mean,
it's in your blood.
It's well, it, and it's just the connections, you know, like, you know, something I just posted on you know, social media before even we started chatting is, you know, it life's about the, you know, the people you meet and, you know, creating with those people. And
that's right.
You know, it's just, and that's what I'm coming to right now. And my point is, my career is like, I have all these really wonderful people and connections and relationships. And it's like, hey, I can actually create something that I feel I can in better something.
Shared memories.
Yeah. And it's, I'm excited about it. I'm more excited about it than racing in a long time. It's pretty cool.
Johnny, it's always good to have you on the program. Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it. Started racing professionally at a young age, 16 years old. You're still eating mac and cheese, if I recall. And but you made it look good, and you make it look good even today. I appreciate the time.
No, I appreciate it. It's always a pleasure having you being on.
Johnny Lewis on the program on Pit Pass. Hey, JGR MX, Yoshimura Suzuki Factory Racing's Weston Pike is still around. Still trying to recover from a bad crash at Paris Supercross this last fall. After getting landed on by another rider, the impact left him with some serious injuries. We continue to pray for his recovery. Although most of his complications from the crash have been fixed by the different surgeries he's had, he still has some vision issues in one eye and has been unable to race or even practice seriously since the injuries. You can find a great interview with him on racerxill.com. Look for it. Tell them we sent you, RacerX Online. By the way, if you subscribe right now, you can get a subscription for as low as $15 a year. Now, I think that's a pretty good deal no matter what. But when you can, you know, tune into somebody like Weston Pike and find out what's really going on firsthand, I think it's well worth it for sure. All right, you're listening to America's Motor Racing Talk Show as we continue all disciplines, all the time. It is Pit Pass. Stay tuned.
Hi, listeners. We wanted to take a moment to tell you about another podcast from Evergreen Podcasts and Sound Talent Media called Pit Lane Parlay. Pit Lane Parlay is the go-to podcast for IndyCar and motorsports-related news. Each episode, we discuss things like our favorite drivers, news clips from the last week, and generally giving each other a hard time about predictions we've made in the past and or life stories that have come up recently. We really have a lot of fun with it and really enjoy each other's company, and we hope you can come join us too. Join Pit Lane Parlay by following us on your favorite podcast today.